Welcome to The Weekly. I'm Jeremy, and just me. So a little bit of scheduling difficulty, and ironically, we were just talking about this on our 100th episode. I think we did 100 episodes and only one solo cast, and this is 101, and it's the first solo. So a little work scheduling problem because we're on a different day. So we're a little bit earlier, so apologies for that, and hopefully Chris will respond to any of my ridiculous opinions in the comments so you can get the full feeling of everything we're doing. So this week on The Weekly, Forbidden Lands double feature on Kickstarter, Mutant Chronicles RPG bundle of, Humble Bundle by Humble Bundle Mutant Chronicles RPG, their PDFs, and the creator of RuneQuest passes. So let's start with Forbidden Lands. So Forbidden Lands is growing bigger and more dangerous. So they're releasing two things at the same time on this latest Kickstarter, a Book of Beasts, which is their monster manual, essentially. And so it's going to look like the books, the faux leather books that they did for their original starter set there. And then they're also doing a new expansion, the Blood March. So this is going to expand the lands to the west. So we're going to have, we already have the lands to the north. Forbidden Lands was the original setting, the original area. I'm totally blanking on that. But the original setting, north and to the west, and to the east is the sea, is a coastline. So someday we may find out where some of these original communities came from. So they're going to do, I believe it's blue. The Book of Beasts is going to accompany the player manual and the game master's guide and cover things like Basilisk and Iron Dragon, the Twisted Ent. So many more things to use in a campaign. So hopefully that'll be things you can use in just about any one of the lands that they've introduced. And it's all going to be written by game writers Andreas Merkland and Eric Granström, and of course, gorgeously illustrated by Henrik Rosenborg, with graphics by Nicholas Brandt. So the quality and wonderful illustration that we're already used to with Forbidden Lands and the Blood March. So this expansion, things are going to get weird. It's the volcanic region west of the Ravenland. So that's right, the Ravenland is the original setting. And we have the area now of the Blood March is accessible through the Shadowgate Pass. So there's like a mountain range that kind of was the way that people found their way to the Ravenlands. And now we're going to get to go back. And the adventure itself, the campaign that's included with this setting is called Legacy of Horn. And it's a hunt for the player characters to find the Astra's Horn, a legendary set of artifacts. So the horn, so sought by many in the Ashen Lands. So a powerful artifact hunt. And then, of course, if you don't want to specifically do that, I'm sure, you know, just like the hex crawling you can do in the other lands, you will be able to do that. So yeah, the Bitter Reach was the expansion to the north, and now we'll have the Blood March to the west. And so a volcanic and sounds like more difficult and deadly terrain. I'm not sure hex crawling across lava is going to be particularly productive. So, the Legacy of Horn was written by Eric Granström, the lead writer for Forbidden Lands and designer of Raven's Purge, their first campaign module. So that is going to be for the next few weeks. We'll put a link to that in the description if you want to continue your Forbidden Lands campaign and look for a new setting or at least have some new monsters. So I'm sure they may offer things separately if you're not ready for the new expansion yet. I'm sure you can get the Book of Beasts by itself, and I believe all three of those books will fit in that box. That was the nice thing that they did, is made things feel very old school, because everything that they included fits well in the box, and I think it's a pretty thick box, so we'll have room for maybe one more. You can't put your scenario books in there, but you may be able to put the three basic books, and that's the set, that's the trinity that, you know, every RPG usually has in their little slipcase. So now Forbidden Lands does as well. So we've got the three volumes of Forbidden Lands, the third on Kickstarter. And another thing that is being offered, this time by Humble Bundle, is the Modiphius Mutant Chronicles RPG. So the 2D20 RPG is now available in a Humble Bundle. And this is basically everything that they offer for that RPG that I think was kickstarted in 2016. So it's $394 of PDFs. And they did have a bundle for a while, which I believe was over $100 of the PDF bundle on their on the Modiphius web store. But this is everything that they printed, plus a lot of support things, cards and character sheets and things, the index of all of the setting for $18. And to add to even add a little bit more to that, there is even a if you go for the full 18 for the complete bundle, there are also STL files for 3D printing of the kind of most iconic characters, basically the Doom Troopers of the setting. So I have to take a look and double check. I'm not sure if these are the miniatures that they originally offered before they did the Siege of the Citadel Kickstarter, or if these are the sculpts from Siege of the Citadel. But they are the, I think there's quite a few of them, like 12, I believe. Let me double check. But it's a really nice selection. 18, wow. 18 pre-supported STL files, their Heroes Collection. So it may be the sculpts that they had previously on the store, because they did have, I believe, some miniatures. And I'm not sure if those are Protoss era, or they're something that they did themselves, or they're things that, like, early sculpts from the Siege of the Citadel. But that's pretty amazing. And, you know, of course, with the STL files, you can scale them to, you know, whatever size you want. So we can push that resolution and see how big you can get your Doom Troopers. But yeah, I thought that was pretty exciting. So this will also include the Savage World rules. If you were not a fan of the 2D20 system, they did a Savage Worlds conversion. And this is everything. So even if you're just interested in the setting, this is all the source books and campaign books, of course, but all the source books for Mutant Chronicles, the most recent edition. So that's everything in third edition, if you are interested in that. So it's a great opportunity to get everything. So it was only up for 20 days. So I think we've got about 2 weeks left. So if you just want the basic experience, that's 99 cents for everything in the starter. So the Dark Symmetry campaign, the player's guide, and of course the core book with a quick starter, the character sheets, and then all of the pledges also give you, or all of the levels also give you a 50% discount at the store for the physical copy of the core book. And then for $10, you get 14 books, which include all of the mega corporations source books. So if you want to read background for the third edition setting, and then the full 30 items is $18. And that gives you everything that they're printing digitally, including the art book, the Venusian Apocalypse, and the STL files. So yeah, it's a pretty good deal. And we've covered a lot of Mutant Chronicles. So if you're interested in getting your hands, I think the digitally, the core rulebook has been on sale as a PDF for $5 for a while on DriveThruRPG. We've had a link to that for a while. But this is $1 to get that book, plus all of the, you know, beginning starter campaigns and everything. And then $18 to own everything that used to be, even discounted. It was still over $100. So check that out. Put a link to that as well. So a lot of promoting bundles and Kickstarters this week. But both of those really, really stood out as things we covered on the channel, and things people may be interested in if you tune in weekly. And unfortunately, the thing we're going to end on is sad news. Is a notice that went up on the Chaosium website that let us know on August 13th that Steve Perrin, the creator of RuneQuest, has passed. So Veil and Farewell was the entry on their website from the Chaosium president. And they've been doing a lot of really great stuff, kind of talking on their blog on that website about the history of RuneQuest. And so we'll go through a little bit, just as a tribute to Steve Perrin, we'll go through a little bit of that. And the funny thing is, I never thought that I played in Glorantha. So Glorantha is the like setting of RuneQuest, but it wasn't designed by Steve Perrin. Steve Perrin created the RPG. So it was actually a friend that he was D&D gaming with, that had been doing basically board games, like strategy games, with his own setting that were doing you know, moderately well, and decided that I was interested in having an RPG setting and didn't want it to be D&D. So talked to people in the group, and eventually it came down to Steve to create a new setting, or I'm sorry, a new RPG system for the setting. So the Glorantha setting is what where RuneQuest was set. And I didn't realize that I had actually played in this world before, because I played the PC game. The King of Dragon Pass is also the same setting. So there's a lot of things based there. HeroQuest, I believe, is also set there. So there's a lot of things that were based there. And I had no idea that I'd actually played before. It's something that may come up in our OSR group as well. We may end up playing some RuneQuest. So that'll be a great chance to do that, and a nice tribute. And it's really sad that Steve Perrin has passed, because just recently his wife, Louise, who you'd be familiar with her art because she did the illustration on the cover of the first RuneQuest book, she had just recently gone into hospice care after having some difficulties. And so his passing following that is very sad. But so as a husband and wife team, they were great. And they, you know, they left us with a great legacy of RPG goodness. So also on the site itself, they go through, I think there's about a six part story of kind of the origin of RuneQuest, and talking about you know, how things came together, and where the kind of beginning of all of that came from. And so Perrin had contributed to many role-playing games like Call of Cthulhu and Stormbringer, and then designed the tabletop setting for the classic fantasy series ElfQuest, if you're familiar. So a lot of quests. And so he also wrote several Dungeons & Dragons supplements for TSR, including Under Illafarn and the first Dungeons & Dragons module set in Forbidden Lands. Forbidden Realms, Forgotten Realms. Jeez, okay, I got Free League on the mind, on the brain here. Set in the Forgotten Realms. So Perrin also wrote Dream of the Red Wizards, and introduced the Red Wizards of Thay to the players in that setting. And he also worked on the Star Trek, Starfleet Academy, and Descent into Undermountain computer games. Well, so yeah, quite a long career. And so he came back to consult for Chaosium when they did their recent Kickstarter. They did the RuneQuest role-playing in Glorantha kind of reprint of the classic book and everything. And yeah, so it's sad. So yeah, they created, Perrin also had to create a GoFundMe when Louise moved into hospice care. And that's really sad that now we're talking about his passing after his wife's illness. So that's too bad, but it's still, we can honor the work he's done and kind of so the new edition, that's right, the new edition of RuneQuest he consulted on in 2016, and contributed some scenarios for that, including the Lost Valley, the Irvatan's Tower in the Smoking Ruin, and also kind of as a tribute, the Pegasus Plateau, he wrote the Pairing Stones, so kind of a tribute to his wife. So yeah, and she was the artist on the that iconic cover that you probably know from RuneQuest. So yeah, it's too bad. So the president said, when people are suddenly gone, the ones close and far are often filled with the I wishes. In my case, they're simple. I wish I had known him better. I wish I'd worked with him more. I wish too that he understood how much gratitude I had for him and his work. So veil and farewell, Steve Perrin, and hopefully we'll get to play some RuneQuest soon. So he was 75. So, yeah, sorry for such a downer. to end the cast on such a downer. But hopefully we will be back to the full team next week. Oh, hey, Orcus Storcus. Hey, thank you. Yes. Yeah, that's too bad. Oh, that's right. There's a RuneQuest starter set coming out as well. Yeah, very good. Yeah, I think that was the inspiration for us starting to do that in the OSR group. We're doing a Call of Cthulhu campaign now, I think, based on that starter set. So I think the RuneQuest starter set is going to carry us into that. But yeah. Oh, excellent. Oh, yeah, the bundle of holding we talked about last time with Warlock. Oh, very cool. Yeah, thanks for checking that out. Sorry, I'm hitting up the chat because Chris and I are not in conversation. I need Chris in the chat. Hey, how's it going, Joe? Very cool. Yeah, so that was very surprising in that humble bundle that Modiphius released, the STLs. That's a, I mean, that's something that there's kind of a growing pressure now. I think STLs are becoming, you know, more desirable because the cost of resin printers is going down and you can buy really high quality, high strength resin. So the miniatures aren't so fragile and you can print your own as many copies as you want. So I think that's going to start being more and more of a thing. And I'll really want to watch and see which companies adopt that, which companies kind of roll with that and which resist until the bitter end. And I think we know which ones those are already. But we will, we'll just have to wait and see. Yeah, so I'm going to try to print. Maybe that'll end up being a live stream too. I'll try to do some prints of the heroes included in the Mutant Chronicles set, that heroes collection, and see what they look like. They looked, the poses looked really similar to the Siege of the Citadel sculpts, but I didn't compare them one-to-one. And actually the Nicodemus didn't look the same, so there may be some variation. Because as I remember, they had posted miniatures, I believe, before in the web store that are all sold out now. So, and that may be, you know, because their production run sold out, that may have been the motivation to include those STLs, is get a little bit more out of that work, but. It's a really excellent deal if you don't have any of that, don't have any of those Mutant Chronicles books or are just interested in reading the lore, which, yeah. So I opted, what started the whole lore series is I opted for they had a really good special a few years back on their print lovers bundle. So it was everything that was in print, which didn't include Dark Eden and a few of the books, that were maybe hadn't been printed yet or were just brand new. They included all that original run from the Kickstarter was all in that bundle. And so I had that huge stack of those physical books and was reading through that. And once lockdown hit, it was on and the complete Mutant Chronicles was born. So if you'd like to catch up on that, and you can actually catch all my mistakes or details that I left out in all of those source books. But yeah, STLs really motivated me. There's so many great artists doing sculpts and things, creating original campaigns and things in the Mutant Chronicles settings with all of the crazy, you know, kind of diesel punk looking sci-fi types of miniatures that are out now. There's a lot of original stuff, or there's a lot of like close enough to, you know, what certain named characters in that setting would appear as, that you've got miniatures for just about everything and terrain and everything. So it's a whole new world of doing tabletop Mutant Chronicles because there's so much stuff out there now that would actually work in the setting. So, what I'm doing is trying not to have ended on such a sad note, the tribute to Steve Perrin. I didn't want that to be the final word. So rambling about. I'll put the links in the description as soon as the live stream concludes. So Yeah, those will go up soon. Oh, thank you, Crispin. Yeah, those are the proto sculpts. All right, I was curious. Yeah, because I didn't know, because I know Protoss Warzone Resurrection had concluded they lost the license, they stopped producing that. So I'm sure those the rights to those lapsed, and you know, whatever they had, whatever stock or whatever went to Modiphius. So thank you. Yeah, I wasn't sure. I had looked there were a couple of sculpts that the pose was very similar, but I guess, you know, that's kind of the iconic pose of many of those heroes. So you're going to get some similarity. Very cool. Yeah. So we will see. And we still haven't heard the Eternal, I believe, the Warzone Eternal. Still haven't had any updates on that. I have to check with Alfie Warzone on his channel and see if he's posted anything, but I'm hoping that happens sometime soon. But it's got to be an uphill battle, though, because if they're going to, hopefully, if they produce stuff domestically, maybe it'll be a little bit easier. But if they're going to do Chinese casting of their sprues, then good luck. Good luck finding space in a container to get those to you. Nice. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I will post everything that I mentioned in the notes, and then yeah, as the podcast notes and the live stream as well. Very cool. Oh, there's a Facebook group for Warzone Eternal. I have not. No, I'm just in the regular old Siege of the Citadel and Mutant Chronicles one. Yeah, I'll have to check it out. Yeah, I should be updating that a lot more because I'm excited about that, but I haven't been hearing things, and I suppose the Facebook group would do it. Yeah, so I will get on that, and hopefully I can do an update next week about what I didn't know. Yeah, so I really hope I hope Warzone Eternal is a thing. And they said they already said that they're going to start out very similar to the original Warzone. They're going to start out small. They're not going to go crazy with every faction, you know, every corporation and every unit. They're going to start out very skirmish level and release things, you know, as they start to, you know, kind of sell and popularity of the game picks up. So we will see. Oh, Blood Beret minis are out. Yeah, I think the rules, the guy that has the channel that was doing the rules, that was working on rules for it, previewed. I think they're maybe just like, I'm not sure if they're actual a manufactured sprue or they're just like 3D printed sprues, but he was showing, I think, that early Blood Berets. So it looked pretty good stuff on. Yeah, I hope that goes well, that they'll build slowly and get some good support. If it's good rule system and a nice update to everything. And I don't know if I have to take a look at the Protoss rules. I read the the Warzone Resurrection. I read the lore that they had done, kind of their updates and their spin on the lore, but I didn't read the rules. So I wonder if people want a continuation of that system, if they're happy with what Protoss did for their rules, or if they want something that kind of goes back to the old set, the traditional kind of classic Warzone game. We'll see what happens. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I want to see that happen again, and I'd love to see, I mean, especially on sprues, I'd love to see some Mutant Chronicles Warzone happening. Wow. Well, I think that is going to do it for this week. So hopefully Chris and I will be back next week. And Chris, write in the comments anything that I guess I didn't cover any controversial topics or diss anybody in particular. So it was just a little information dump this week. But we will be back. And so check out Chris on itch.io. So Hivemind. And we'll put a link to all his good stuff, and that usually that appears on all the notes. So Hivemind with Y's, and for both Twitter and then itch.io. And I do the weekly live stream of the drawing of my cartoon, which I just did yesterday. So that's Monday evening, kind of Tuesday afternoon Japan time, but Monday evening North American time, for Abuse Cartoons. So Abuse Cartoons, both on YouTube and Twitch, and then abusecartoons.com is the website, and the archive of that cartoon is on GoComics, so gocomics.com/domesticabuse. And this whole thing is Upturned Table. And upturntable.com is where you can find everything that we're doing. This live stream happens usually every Friday, Japan time, so like Thursday night on North American time. So we take lunchtime on Friday and do our little discussion of everything. And you can follow us on Twitter at upturntable, also Instagram, and then the channels on both YouTube and Twitch are Upturned Table. And if you want to support this cast and get some access to what we're doing for lore videos and everything that we've been putting together, take a look at patreon.com/upturntable and become a weakling to show your support of the weekly cast. But yeah, thanks so much for, oh, nice. Oh, excellent. Thanks, Orcus Dorcas. Yeah, the California. Yeah, I think we hit a good evening spot in California. So lunchtime Japan is a good California evening time. So hopefully, yeah, this works well and we get back on track. So we're already down one. So I think this is our one solo show for the next 100 episodes, I think. I don't know. It just depends on how much the world keeps falling apart. But thanks so much for joining me, and I'll be back next week, hopefully not alone. So take care, everyone, and we'll see you then. Goodbye.